what we've done this morning in the service, what the Lord has done, it really was like my sermon. So I'm not going to pray. It's the Holy Spirit moving in us, through us, touching, changing, equipping, enlivening. That's not a word, is it? He's moving among us. He's here. He's here right now. He's here. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12, we have received God's Spirit, not the world's Spirit, so that we can know the wonderful things that God has freely given us. We receive His Spirit, not the world's Spirit, but His Spirit, the very Spirit of God, so that we can know the vast multitude of things that God has given us, God has done for us. So I think about 3 weeks ago, I talked about this being a Holy Spirit church and us being a Holy Spirit people. And so I began to ponder, well, what does that look like? What does it look like to you? If we want to be a Holy Spirit congregation, if we want to be a Holy Spirit church, we maybe need to explore a little bit about what the Holy Spirit does, how He moves, like we saw Him move this morning. Because as we embrace Him, our goal is to develop an intimate relationship with the Holy Spirit. I don't know about you, but we want to develop a more purposeful, intimate relationship with Him. In Romans chapter 8, verse 14, it says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God, the children of God. For you didn't receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. We received the spirit of adoption. He has come. So are you ready? Are you ready to dive into meeting with the Holy Spirit personally, intimately in your life? Do you want to hear His voice? It happens when you invite Him to be your close personal friend, to be your constant guide, when you ask Him to take you by the hand and lead you into all truth. I like the illustration that Ruth had about taking the hand of the Lord. It's like, she said, it's like you can walk down the street with your little child and they're holding your hand and everything is good, but when you get ready to cross a busy intersection, you're holding their hand. They're not holding yours. You take their hand and you hang on to it. And that's what God does with us. He wants to be the one that is so close to us. So who is the Holy Spirit? You know, from the beginning of the Bible to the end of the Bible, the Holy Spirit's in there, right? In the very second verse of the Bible, the Holy Spirit shows up. Did you know that? It says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Then the second verse says, the earth was void and without form, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God hovered over the face of the waters. In the very second verse of the Bible, the Spirit of God shows up. All the way through the Bible, He is there. He is the Spirit of God. And we see Him. You see Him acting in the Old Testament and in the New Testament from the very beginning of creation all the way up to the very end. In the very last chapter, it says, the Spirit and the Bride say, come. He's there all over. Maybe if you could understand who the Spirit is and how He operates with a simple illustration. If I asked you, please turn on the light, three forces would be involved, right? The first one would be me who gave the command. I said, turn on the light. And then the second person involved would be you. You'd go over to the wall and you'd flip the light switch. That would turn on the light. But you didn't really turn on the light. You didn't produce the light. You didn't create the light. You're the performer of the command. But who brings the light? It's not me and it's not you. It's the power company, right? That's the one that produced the electricity that caused the light to come on. And it's kind of like the Father gives the command gives a request. Jesus gives the command. He switches the light on. But the Holy Spirit is the power. He's the one that produces for us, in us, through us. So after the Holy Spirit's on the earth, he's always been there. But after the ascension of Jesus, a major change took place. Before that, the Holy Spirit was on the earth, and he was involved in people's lives. I mean, prophets and priests and kings and all kinds of people. Maybe you see this idea so evident in the life of Samson in the book of Judges, chapter 14, verse 6. It says, "And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he," well, in this case, he tore down the walls or the gates. And then in 19, it says, "The Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he," and then in 15, 14, "when he came to Lehi, the Philistines came shouting against him. Then the Spirit of the Lord came on him mightily, and the ropes broke." Over and over and over again, for 20 years that went on, the Spirit of the Lord would come on him. And that's the way the Holy Spirit operated in the Old Testament. He came on people and did a job, did a work, helped them, whatever. But then he left. But at 10 days after the ascension of Jesus, we celebrate the day of Pentecost. And on that day, the Holy Spirit came. It wasn't a here today, gone tomorrow idea. That's not the way the Holy Spirit came. He came to take a permanent residence in you. Permanent residence. You can't get rid of him. Ha ha. He came to take a permanent residence in the hearts of believers everywhere. He's going to live in you and me. And he wasn't ever going to leave us. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19, "Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit?" There was a temple in Jerusalem that the Jews had for thousands of years. But now the temple is in you. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own. It's his temple. It's his person. I'm his person. "For you were bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. He came to take a permanent residence within you. He came to live in you. Jesus foretold the coming of the Holy Spirit in John chapter 7. He said, on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Living water is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. "Out of his heart will flow rivers of the Holy Spirit. This he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified." Here we see the promise of the Holy Spirit as a living wellspring within you, within every believer, and out of you would flow rivers of living water. And then a few months later in John chapter 14, Jesus begins his discourse on the Holy Spirit. In John chapter 14, verse 16, he said, "I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you, and he shall be in you." The Holy Spirit is in you. Think about that for a minute. The Holy Spirit, who was here from the very beginning of creation and will be here till the very end of creation and beyond and beyond and beyond, he lives in you. Let me say that again. The Holy Spirit, the eternal God, he is the power of God. He lives in you. Raise your hand. Everybody's got their hand up. He's in you. Yeah. He's in you. That phrase in that verse, it says, another helper. I mean, it's the Greek is allos parakletos. And it means to comfort or encourage or exhort. It refers to any kind of aid. It's used as a legal advisor, a pleader, a proxy, an advocate, one who comes in behalf of another. and as the representative of another. And Christ designated him as that kind of an helper for us. For you. He comes to dwell in us, to be a paraclete, to be a comforter, to be a helper. That's so good. That's so good. He is the representative of Christ on the earth. It's like Jesus is living inside of you in the Holy Spirit. He is the comforter, one who is called alongside of another. And the purpose is to help you in every way possible. I think about the people that I like to get help from, but they're nothing compared to the Holy Spirit. They may be good help, but not as good as he is. He knows the answer to every question. He's the picture of a friend who's called to help a person who's troubled, who's distressed, who's confused. It's the picture of a person like a commander who's called in to help a discouraged or disrupted army. It's the picture of a lawyer, an advocate, one who's called alongside of us to help plead our case. No word can adequately describe the word paraclete, but the best translation is helper. He's our helper. You need help, he's there. He's your helper. In Luke chapter 11, verse 13, it says, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Wow. He abides forever with us. His presence continues without end. He never withdraws his presence. He purposes to dwell with you, giving assurance, looking after, caring, guiding, teaching. He is in you. He is in you to bring comfort, to fellowship, to he's in you mostly to conform you to the image of Christ. Now more than ever, we need the power of the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit's fresh anointing in our lives. Every one of us. Not me, not just me, not just Ruth, not just Mike, not just... And I could call all your names. It's not just you. It's all of us. It's all of us. It's all of us. He's in every one of us to the same measure. Same degree. He's in us. He's in us. Hallelujah. The good news is we don't have to live without the Holy Spirit. We don't have to. With the fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit each day, we can live a positive, joy-filled life. In the book of Romans, Paul said, the kingdom of God is righteousness, joy, and peace. But he didn't stop that. He said, in the Holy Spirit. So when he's in you, there is righteousness and joy and peace. He's the fullness of it. The fullness of joy. If I've learned anything about the Holy Spirit, is that we need the power of the Holy Spirit fresh and new every hour of every day. We need him constantly as our helper. And God doesn't give us leftovers. You know, in the Israelites, they were in the wilderness for 40 years. God gave them food all while they were there. He kept their clothes from wearing out. Their shoes didn't get holes in the bottom. He kept them. And if he could do so much for them, how much more will he do for us? He offers us the precious filling and anointing of the Holy Spirit. And it comes afresh every day, empowering us to live an overcoming Christian life. I'm convinced that you can't live today on what the Holy Spirit gave you yesterday. I mean, we should thank God for the past, for all that he did, for all the miracles he did, all the help he gave. But that won't cut it for today. Only by claiming our inheritance of the Holy Spirit's presence in our lives on a daily basis can we be sustained. Can we overcome the challenges that face us? Can we achieve greatness in our lives? Living in the fullness of the Holy Spirit is essential for every believer. I can make you raise your hands again because you're every believer, right? It's essential for you. It's essential for you. Not just as a source of power, but as a personal guide. And he will lead you into spiritual maturity. He will lead you into the image of Christ. He will lead you. He will lead you. The fullness of the Holy Spirit, his fullness invites us into a dynamic relationship with God, into a dynamic relationship that infuses your daily life with purpose, with joy. I like what 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17 and 18 says. It says, now the Lord is the Spirit. The Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. We have freedom and liberty. And then it says, and we all with unveiled faces, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. That verse, it just strikes me because for a long time I read that verse, verse 18, like beholding in a mirror. And I read it as if I'm looking in a mirror, but I'm seeing the reflection of Jesus in the mirror. But it really says, when you behold in a mirror, it's like what is a mirror for? It's for you to look in to see what? It's not a hard question. It's an easy question to see yourself. To see the glory of the Lord that is on you. To see his presence on you. And it really changed the way I looked at that verse. And I began to think that the glory of God was, I didn't look at in the mirror and see the reflection over there was the glory of the Lord. And someday, somehow, I'm going to get on that. I'm going to get some of that on me. I'm going to become. But it's what God has already done in me. I behold the glory of the Lord, what he's already produced in me. And I'm being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. God, I've got. Oh, maybe a fourth glory. But I'm being transformed from glory to a fifth glory. Or not a fifth, a fourth. Fourth is more than a fifth. To a third glory. And then I'm being transformed from a third glory into a half glory. And I'm moving forward. I'm moving into the image of Christ. I'm being transformed from glory to glory. And the one who does it? The Spirit of the Lord. The Holy Spirit in you is changing you every day as you interact with him. Living the Christian life, I want to tell you, it's not easy. In fact, it's impossible, right? You can't live the Christian life. But God sent the Holy Spirit to us to live in our hearts, to enable us to live for him, to be victorious. Well, we've looked a little bit, not very much, but just a little bit, at what being part of the Holy Spirit does for us. So let's jump in, right? Into more. Determine every day to start with the Holy Spirit. Say, well, don't say this. Well, Holy Spirit, today's the day I've got lots of good things to do, so join with me and let's go. It's not what to say. Start the day by saying, Holy Spirit, what do you have planned for the day? What do you have planned for today? I want to follow you. I want to go with you. Lead me. Lead me, Holy Spirit. Let's stand up. I want you to start praying that prayer today. I want you to start praying right now. I want you to say, right now, say it. Holy Spirit, what do you have planned for today? It's a very short but a very powerful prayer. If you pray that prayer, the Holy Spirit will show up in ways you can't imagine. He will shape the world around you according to His purpose and design and destiny. Holy Spirit, what do you have planned for today? Father, we thank you. We thank you for your word, your Holy Spirit, that you've given us your Holy Spirit to be our leader, our guide, our helper. The eternal Spirit of God lives within me, and I'm so thankful. Lord, so many days I have lived unaware of His presence. Change that, Lord. I want every day to be filled with your presence, to be filled with your plans, to be filled with your glory. Just cry out to Him. Cry out to Him for that kind of fullness, that kind of life, that I'm going to change today. Starting today, I'm going to start living with awareness of the Holy Spirit in my life, moment by moment. Lord, when I don't, remind me. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that you sent the Holy Spirit to us to be our helper. You said He's going to come and live within you. You're going to become a temple of the Holy Spirit. So, Lord, I thank you for sending Him for us, to us. Put your hand in your heart this morning. This is my favorite part of the service. Not because it's the end. We work at the beginning. This is what it is. Just to receive the goodness and the blessing of God. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord... I forgot. Make His face shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you. Lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Shalom, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.